You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's opening act after show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's opening act after show.
Yes, yes, we are back. What's going on, everyone? Bing is for doing, and welcome to the E! Opening Act after show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Jason J. Carter, joined by my lovely co-host, who I adore and love so much. Roll call.
Hey, I'm Jennifer Golden.
Hey, I'm Gabrielle Loren.
Hey, I'm Mark E. Allen.
Hey!
Sorry, we're like playing the name game.
I know, right. Name game, season one, episode 7 of the E! Opening Act. And tonight was all about Tanner and Brad Paisley. What a show. Okay, so let's get straight to the thick of it. Great show, right?
Yeah.
Great show.
It was good.
Great show.
Might have been my favorite episode. It was like the Ariel of country.
Yeah. Well, actually, he was a pop singer.
I mean, yeah, normally. But he had a mixture, though. He was mainly pop, liked pop, but he liked to do other genres, too.
Right.
So I thought it was interesting how, like, quickly he was able to, like, switch gears.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, do you guys agree with me when I say that finally, opening act is getting some teeth? I mean, last week, hell of a show with Joy Island. And then this week we have Tanner, who was from Collie Park, Texas, another obscure town.
By the way, though, Collie Park, you'd think, I mean, Texas at least, you'd think he liked country. And
Collie
then
Park
sings.
Or Collieville?
Collieville,
I think.
No, it was Collieville. Sorry, Collie Park in Atlanta. My bad.
Correction.
Correct. Noted. Collieville, Texas.
We tell the truth here.
Collieville, Texas. And the audition process with the judges, he was up against another, of course, random. And they were definitely feeling him. They liked the way he sounded. It was Martina McBride was a little not on his team, but she ultimately acquiesced to the other decisions of the judges. And here he is on the show, opening up with Brad Paisley.
Which, meanwhile, why isn't Martina McBride on the show? We talked about this while we were screening.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't understand why the person that would be the expert for that genre is not coaching or not like mentoring.
And
it's very strange
at all, though, because they have a different star from each genre of music that's sitting on this panel to make the decision to bring the talent onto the show. Mm-hmm. So you would think, since this is a country, or on the other previous country shows, that they would have her mentoring and going in there and trying to give her testament or give her knowledge and her skills with these country stars.
Yeah,
it's almost like we don't even need these judges. What opening act could have done is eliminated them. Jason Derulo, pointless. Like,
I know,
really?
He may actually come in handy next episode,
yeah,
but it seems
which
a little
would be
strange.
Perfect, but they won't use him.
He probably won't.
Yeah,
they're maybe like
for
fillers.
Next season, yeah, next season they will listen to us.
I don't know. You know, I think what we said earlier, how they probably film all of those sections in the in that one room at the table in one day, and just either change their outfit or we're not paying attention and are wearing the same thing.
Right.
You know, but it's probably all filmed in a day's worth, and then they let them go. Like, thanks, guys. We had you on for a day. You get a day rate later.
Exactly. And they just through the episodes and they're like, all right, we need this guy. We need this guy. We need this
Please,
girl.
They use 2 seconds. There's no way they're calling them every day in or every week that they do this.
No chance.
To bring them back.
And their availability, I'm sure, is not weekly. That's just not
exactly.
Happening.
Exactly.
Well, it's like you said, filler. Like, they probably were thinking the clout of these stars would be enough to get viewers to watch.
Especially all together.
Yeah. Ooh, wow, the more star power goes up. But however, it's not doing anything for anybody, really. No. Like I said, we could do without them and keep it moving. So let's keep it moving. So he's plucked from obscurity to come to perform with Brad Paisley in Mountain View, California.
Didn't you love how he got how he was made aware that he was going to be performing with Brad Paisley?
Okay, this this time, though, it seemed very... It wasn't like that could actually happen. It seemed very staged, this episode.
No, I liked it. I thought it was cool. I like how she kind of tapped him before. He's like, well, you might have seen me on YouTube. And and then that happens.
It does happen.
That happens. I work with a dude that has a pretty big YouTube following. He gets noticed all the time.
So. I was recognized at a hospital for being on YouTube. So it could happen. And I felt at least... that the story was better than the ones where they woke the people up last week in their bed, or they visited them at the Bed Bath & Beyond they worked at. And that just seems so staged.
I feel like for the storyline for you guys is legitimate, but hashtag legitimate. But I mean, on your side, I thought in the beginning when he was first looking at the screen and Brad Paisley came on, his shocked face was just too corny for me.
Right.
I'm sorry. Everything else was normal, and I agree with you guys on the rest of it. But that I think was fine. But that first reaction to Brad on the screen, I'm thinking like, okay, that does not seem real to me.
They're in a movie theater. Okay, so if you guys watch the show, you'll see that they're in a movie theater and Olivia taps him on the back of his shoulder and says, hey, do I know you? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, you may have seen me on YouTube. And then all of a sudden, you know, they go into the spiel about how he was going to be on stage with Brad Paisley, etc. But the people that are in the theater are just still sitting there watching this, you know, this testimony from Brad Pitt thinking, oh, this is probably part of the, you know, the previews. You know, so it seemed very staged. This is probably the most staged reveal I have seen in a while.
Did you just say Brad Pitt?
I said Brad Paisley.
Okay, I think you said Brad Pitt.
I said Brad Paisley.
What movie were they going to see?
Probably the Dark Knight. I don't know. You know, something. Scary. The Bourne Legacy or something.
No, but, real movie. It looked like a screening room, to be honest. But I don't care. I don't care if it was staged this time because it just felt more right than the other one.
Yeah. Sure. And Tanner's voice. Let's talk about his talent. Who is Tanner? Tanner is a pop singer, actually, who sometimes dabbles in country, but more than not, he sings pop.
Yeah.
And he had a band. The band, Tanner says that they went to college, and he decided to pursue music and keep on doing it, so that's why he was solo in this endeavor. And I thought Tanner was pretty good. I mean...
Yeah, because he does what a lot of musicians do, cover after cover, whatever's relevant on YouTube. I remember looking back maybe a couple, 3 months ago, and he did a cover of Pumped Up Kicks, which was really cool. And when we saw the previews for the show, I saw him on there. I was like, oh, it looks familiar. And I looked back, and he did a really cool cover. He plays a lot of different instruments, too. And, it seemed like I think him as a solo artist is a lot better than him being in a band, just with his vision. It's so clear.
Yeah. And... Moving on more on Tanner, he was in a band, and in 2008 he was diagnosed with diabetes. So that's one of the kickers of this episode, is that Tanner's struggling with diabetes. You know, it's affecting his life daily. He said that every day is a system of checks and balances, making sure that he's able to just get through the day with his health, with his insulin, all his meds and things of that nature. But he's still very positive, and that's what I love about him. In spite of it all, ladies and gentlemen, Tanner is going to kick some butt, and he's still positive.
Yep.
And he still wants to be in this business, and he still wants to be a star, and he definitely has a drive to get there. So they fly him to...
But before we go there, though, can we backtrack on the diabetes?
Backtrack.
Because what he did say also was that his lungs clapped not once but twice. And while he was sick, that's when he sort of pointed out that his band decided they were going to go to college, which, I mean, makes sense because if they're not sure of what their future holds, that's the choice
they
made.
How do you think they feel now? Like
we
should have stayed home.
I mean, who knows? They could also be playing music still.
Right.
So you never know. They could be playing the local bars by the college.
In the pub.
They're One Direction.
Exactly. They literally. Or they're the Wanted. We don't know who they are right now. They all have the same haircut, and they were cute. They were adorable little band members. So it's interesting, though, to hear that his lung, one of them, collapsed twice.
Yeah. Things happen for a reason. Not that that's not that that's good, but seriously, you know, in hindsight 2020, things happen for a reason. Ultimately, it was for Tanner to embark on this experience alone, and alone he did. And so now we fly to Los Angeles to meet with Nigel, Antonina, and Nick. And
that was painful to watch.
Painful. I think out of all the episodes this week I was a little offended by their reaction to him singing, because in his audition, you could tell that he wasn't as confident as he should have been, or he wasn't prepared, but he just wasn't, his voice was very thin, he wasn't projecting, he wasn't putting out any kind of intensity, as I like to say. He was just singing, and they were looking at him like, what's going on?
He should have turned his mic up, man.
That was a setup, right?
They were just like, we have to find something wrong with them.
Post-production. Yeah, for real.
Because they always do something like that during that part of the show. They're never blown away the first time we see the person perform.
But I think it's better that he does project now, and after they went through like breath control stuff with him too, it's going to help him as an artist, but they could have helped him out.
I don't know. I don't agree with the whole laughing thing. Like, Nigel was laughing at him, and you know this guy has so many insecurities. Like, he was really sick and is still really sick. I don't like that kind of criticism. I think how Nick handles his rehearsals with all these people, it really builds them and their confidence, and it allows them to perform at their highest level. But when you laugh in someone's face, it's going to make them more insecure, and they're not going to be able to perform. So I don't agree with that way of teaching.
No, I wonder if maybe that laughing clip was like in response to a conversation or something, and they threw that in there, but then that just makes them look awful, like awful human beings,
like,
for laughing at this guy.
Very douchey.
And you kind of think like maybe he was singing quietly because he was scared he was gonna blow a lung, or who knows, he was nervous.
That's what I was
and
thinking.
He said he was saying that, I mean, we find out later that he gets stressed and it affects his diabetes, and and you know, everything he does affects that. And so to see him sing quietly, now you're like, well, maybe there's a reason for that, and stop laughing. But they also might not have been laughing about that at all, and now we think they're mean people.
Well, in defense of Tanner, Angelina said she's very doubtful about him. She's like, I'm doubtful that he even has the talent to do this.
And then she picked the other guy, Tyler.
Break. Yeah. So it was like tragedy.
Yeah, she wasn't backing him up.
At all. And the song he sang was really nice, Lady Antebellum, I Need You Now. It's a great song, and I thought he sounded great. But, I mean, Gabby, what you had said earlier, though, about you didn't think it was right that they were making fun of him and get stressed out. One thing Tanner will have to realize is that he is in this industry, and, you know, they go hard or go home. Go hard or go home. They don't have time to feelings aside, and it's tragic.
Yeah, agreed, but then just be straight up and be like, sorry, thanks, bye. Don't even bring him out, because they're not stupid. They looked at the YouTube video.
Yeah.
So if you know his potential, then that's fine. But, I mean, this isn't like a random audition where it's open call and it's blind.
No, he was already
picked. They knew. Exactly. They picked him, and they casted him for the show, so they have no right to say anything else. That's all I have to say.
I don't know if he's going to be able to be the opening act.
Please, dramatic.
He's committed to it. He's already there. He's plucked from obscurity, and now he's in L.A. Like, it's a done deal at that point.
Done deal.
To question him, they question everybody, though.
Right.
So it's just part of the formula, it seems.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know.
I wish that E, talking about the show now in general, I wish that E would not have, would break away from this formula that we've been seeing every week, as far as they get there, they suck, then they get the pep talk, and then they're amazing.
Right.
I want them to come in and slay the beast and shut Nigel and Antonina and Nick up and be like, wow, we have no, I don't know what to say. Because I feel like if in order for the show to progress, and we said this earlier in other shows, is that it has to grow and do something different, break out of the mold, you know?
I think the formula isn't, I mean, if they just did different things with the formula, for instance, instead of like performing for them in a room, maybe take them to like a coffee shop or something where there's actually people listening and watching, so you get like that dynamic to it, and then, you know, build up within shows, so he's not just performing for us in a room and then going big.
But you know what? I have a feeling that towards the last episode or two that we're approaching, because they're doing Nicki Minaj, right? Are they doing Lady Gaga?
We're not sure. Still up in the air. Because you have
to
do promos for that.
I mean, Nicki Minaj is huge in herself, you know? And so I know that whoever they get to open for her, at least, is going to be great at what they do, because she's a great entertainer.
What are you trying to say about Brad Paisley?
No, I mean, they're all good, but they're on, like, the level of entertainment over anything is, like, a 10, you know?
Sure. Nicki Minaj?
No,
she just stands on stage.
No, but she's an entertainer,
she
is what
shakes
I'm saying.
Whoa,
she
watch
performs.
Your mouth.
Everybody else performs around her.
Not everyone dances, sings, and, like, has all this design and stage effects that really capture the audience. You know, some of these people just get on the mic like Adele, and that's it. Sit in a chair, which is great too. But I think they need to get a wow factor in for a Nicki Minaj or a Lady Gaga. So maybe they'll have a different element for those episodes and a different way they formulate it. You never know.
I still really want to see these experts actually
do something.
Yeah, mentor or something. I just think it's a waste.
Yeah, that would definitely take it up.
They're
a
waste
notches.
Of star power.
Let's not talk about Nick. Nick's not a waste.
Tonight, he
wasn't.
Well,
no, because Nick also comes in handy. He then goes from the table and picking the talent to actually helping the talent.
Yeah.
So you see his involvement in the show in more than just one scene.
For sure. Back to Tanner. So he sings the Lady Antebellum song, and they're not impressed, but then they talk to him. Moving along, they say that we want you to be authentic and blend country and pop for your song with Brad Paisley, which, by the way, that's not authentic, Antonina. Rock mafia chick. Last time I checked, country was country and pop was pop.
Yeah.
I mean, you can cross over, but they said an authentic country pop song.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, everything is pretty much
pop
country in the country music business. But, yeah, no.
Because of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to hear Reba McEntire dropping it like it's hot.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
You're not look up her song, Hear Me on the Radio.
What I'm saying, though, you're
that's
not
going to
hear
pretty poppy.
Will not be coming out Reba McEntire's beats anytime soon, but Taylor Swift's new song,
right?
It's borderline hip hop. I mean,
it's her and B.O.B.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that one, and then that one is
yeah.
And then she just did a new one that was,
and I get the infusion of both genres. I get it, but it's not authentic.
Yeah,
the end.
I agree.
It's not authentic.
Carrie Underwood's been doing it.
So they send him to go work with someone from Capitol Records.
Yes.
Daryl Brown. Daryl Brown. And, you know, finally we get a producer that was actually genuinely excited and very relatable. A lot of these producers are so in their head and very guarded and just not open. Not very open. They give him a song and then like last week of Rock Mafia. Well, I don't think they can do it. Just very cold. This guy was very warm and was
helpful.
Happy. Very helpful.
Wanted
and
him
eager.
To succeed.
Yes. The song, I really didn't get a feel for the song he was singing, though, because they didn't really touch on that this episode as far as the song he's going to sing with Brad Paisley.
Right.
He just appeared on stage later on the show and was singing the song, so they didn't really go in-depthly about the song or who wrote it or what the song was about, unfortunately. But, like I said, it was really nice for him to be open and warm and receiving to Tanner, because Tanner, he was very fragile, I felt. Very fragile. His whole energy was just, like he was going to fall apart any moment, and I get it. He's dealing with a lot. Yeah. And this whole experience is a lot.
It is a lot. I wonder, though, if he is that fragile. You know, like when we spoke to Joy Island last week, they said, you know, the show didn't necessarily depict them accurately. Right. And I wonder if, you know, Tanner really is as fragile as they made him look in this episode.
I think after his first performance and after having such a bad performance and them not accepting it well, I think that had to do with a lot with it.
Yeah.
You know.
That could probably that would fray anyone's nerves. Yeah, you'd feel
like,
maybe
I don't got this.
You know, something nice about Tanner though was you could see how important this was to him, whereas in other episodes it seemed a little bit like, oh, this is just something I'm doing.
Well, especially after last week when they didn't care about anything.
Because he's honest, I like him. He's honest, legitimate again. Have to use it. And I enjoy watching someone like him because he appreciates this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He does. He appreciates the experience.
It was nice to see his journey. And, you know, they call it a journey, and it's kind of cliche to say it's his journey. But it actually was a journey from, you know, being just home, you know, not part of a band, doing stuff on his own. I think, did they say that they had a record deal or there was something that they were going to do and then they just stopped?
They're on tour, I think, when you got sick and stuff.
Yeah, and then, you know, now this is an experience just for himself, and he's not doing it with his band, and if he doubted being a solo performer, now this at least proved that he can do it.
Right.
And also going back to other, you know, people are open to helping him, the producer, Daryl, we also had Nick Jonas on the episode, which
that
I really
awesome.
Enjoyed. I didn't even know Nick Jonas had diabetes.
Neither did I, maybe. So now we know.
That was an eye-opener.
Learn something new every day.
See, and you know what? That's also a testament to how he treated his disease. Like, he didn't let people know that he was suffering from something. Because, I mean, we're sitting in the room. We're not, like, obviously we don't follow him, but we know who he is. And the fact that we didn't even realize that this guy ever had a disease, but he performed so well and he's so successful, it is an encouragement for someone like Tanner. Like he mentioned, you inspired me because you had it and you were able to get up on stage and do it.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about that as far as having the guest mentor come in. Last week, we had Samantha Ronson. On a scale of 1 to 10, an excitement, that was a -1 last week. So having
I think she felt that way, too, when she said that I would rather be teaching somebody how to make grilled cheese.
Yep.
That sounds delicious right now.
I know. Snacks next time.
And then we have Nick Jonas, who I love the Jonas Brothers. They're super talented. Their albums are great. I mean,
and they also have a show.
Right. There's a reason why they're very successful, because they're great.
Yeah.
And he was very genuine, too, talking about his diabetes and just, I mean, what a great role model. Someone around the same age.
Yeah, good
that's
matchup.
Successful.
Sure.
It was perfect. Yeah. Kudos to E for that this week.
Yeah,
that
was
a great matchup. Finally. Perfect. Because last week, Samantha Ronson, epic fail. So back in the studio with Nick Cooper, who said, quote unquote, he's a good looking kid with a little bit of talent. Is that right there really kind of jostled me, because is that how these people think? Like, I think he has tons of talent.
Yeah. I think it was just also for, like, you know, added drama to be like, well, let's see if he can give it, you know, and say that he went from this to this because of Nick Cooper's music lesson, you know? I mean, I think there has to be an arc somewhere.
I agree with you, actually. I think he's just saying that because I don't think it's his style of music. I don't think Nick Cooper is into that style of music as much as maybe someone else is. So to him, maybe that's not talent because he doesn't like that music.
Right.
You know? I think he's more the R&B, the LMFAO. Yeah, the soul. That's him. But I don't think the country straight up is his thing.
Well, Gabby, I was thinking, is that... I mean, I'm not a singer, so I don't know how producers or talent scouts or A&R gauge talent within singers, but obviously Tanner has oodles of talent. Is that how they really think? Like, if you're monumentally talented, but to them, oh, that's just a little bit of talent. So,
like, what's the scale?
Like, what is
but you
the,
know what?
What
they're not always right. Like, do you know how long? I don't know if you know the backstory to most of these famous artists, but Katy Perry, it took her years to get to where she is. Like, people didn't believe she had it. Like, and Lady Gaga was dropped from her original label. Those people are definitely, you know, regretting that. I think actually it was on, if you ever watched the Aubrey show on Oxygen, Aubrey O'Day, I think one of the guys, the main music guys, he's in a lot of stuff, making the band too.
Johnny Wright.
I think it was him. He was mentioning a record executive when Aubrey was performing because she was trying to get picked up again that, you know, you dropped Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. So what is your opinion right now? If you don't, you know, he's trying to make a point, basically.
Right.
Like, you don't have good judgment. And so, yeah, not to make the same mistake twice. So there's a lot of executives in this industry that honestly don't know what they're talking about. And they're blind to, like, talent. They're blind. A real executive, I think you should be out in the streets, out in the club, like, see where these people are performing at. Going on YouTube now, with social media, there's so much talent out there. And people are just so close-minded.
Very.
Another girl, the girl from Lady Antebellum, her name is...
Kristen Scott.
Kristen Scott. She was dismissed from America's Got Talent. They told her she didn't have talent, and then now he's singing her song on this show.
I mean, look at that.
You never know.
That's how they roll. Another great point of the show tonight with Nick and Tanner was the breakthrough, which, for me... Okay, what Tanner said that was so real for me was that about connecting with his audience and about... You know, he never knew he had so many emotions that were flooding around in him that he couldn't, that were keeping him from connecting and from letting go and being real and being relatable. And as hosts, we experience that too, because we're trying to tell a story to an audience and we have to connect with them. And it was just, you could just, when Nick was telling him, you know, fight for it. I was like, yes, Tanner, fight for it. Because I could relate to that. You want something so bad, and it's everything to you. I'm talking everything. You live, eat, breathe, and sleep this one thing. And Tanner said, you know, I was holding myself back.
Yeah, because you never know. Like, it, being a solo artist without any taking classes or I don't know what his background was, but you can try all these different things, but you never know what the right direction to go in is. And if you have Nick Cooper, who's like, this is how you do this, and then you do it, it's got to be amazing for him to kind of overcome that whole thing, and now he knows he's on the right direction.
And Mark, he has stated that he was making himself small, that he was not letting his light shine. He was dumbing himself down because of everything he's been through, and it was just like, wow.
And of all things, I mean, he's got so much to share and so much emotion, I'm sure, that he's, you know, encountered in his life that he can emote on stage, and you don't want to see somebody that has no emotions or nothing behind the eyes. So, you know, when you sing like a love song or a country song, whatever you're going to sing, you want to feel the song. Otherwise, what's the point of listening to that song?
Yeah. Right. And I mean, even Nick Cooper was saying that you're holding back. And by you holding back, you're holding back intimacy. And as a performer, like you are all mentioning, you want to give and you want your audience to react to that. So, because otherwise you don't have a show and it's baseless.
That's the reason why we go see artists like Adele and Mariah.
It's cathartic.
Exactly.
Yes,
Madonna.
Exactly.
They're feeling what you have inside and you are like, oh, I can let it out.
They're performing everything you're thinking,
right?
Yeah, it was great. That was probably the definitive moment of the whole show tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's when I really like Nick. honestly, Nick was one of my... Actually, none of the panel are my favorites, period, because I feel like they're pointless, except for Nick, because mm-hmm. we could do without Nigel. Nigel, all Nigel needed to do on this show was just be the title of the production company. That was it, because he really doesn't give any add any kind of added support, I guess, or watching factor. But tonight, yeah. Nick saved the show with that, because that was real. And that was... It didn't seem... stage. It didn't seem like it was, you know, made for television. It just seemed like he was connecting. And then Tanner was crying. His lip, bottom lip was quivering and doing the chin thing. It was like,
I think we got to see more of the actual vocal lesson versus, like, some of the other clips we've seen where it just seemed a little staged. Yeah. This one seemed like it was a real vocal lesson. Maybe it just seemed like...
I agree.
You know, they did the breathing lessons, which I was like, thank God, because what if he hurts his lung? And that's all I could think about. And I guess that was helpful to him because then he can control his breath and not stress out while on stage.
Mark, do you do those breathing exercises when you sing?
Not as much as I should.
Mark screams.
are you a screamo?
Yep. Only heavy metal for Mark. That's what they call me, heavy metal Mark.
Actually, he's also on YouTube, and you can see him singer-songwriting.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah.
Maybe you'll get on opening act next season.
That'd be hilarious.
Then we'll need a new host.
No, we can go backstage and do opening act there.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So they offer a country song to Tanner. And Tanner's like, okay, well, I rarely sing country, but I'm willing to give it a shot. He basically said, I mean, I'm open to new things. I'm open to new experiences. I'm open to try anything.
Good for him.
So they try this new country song, and there we have it. So moving right along, we're on our way to...
Mountain View.
Mountain View, which is in California. We Googled it, ladies and gentlemen. It's in California. And he's going to be opening up for Brad Paisley. Now, let's talk a little bit about Brad Paisley. I'm not really big.
Okay, there
really?
We go.
Really?
I love Brad Paisley.
In deep, dark hills.
That's how we rolled after Buzz. We have music, video,
right on cue.
Right on cue.
Waiting for that moment.
Work, Phil. Work.
Where I trace my bloodline.
Brad Paisley, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at that voice.
And it's there on a hill.
Come on, Mark, join.
I know this song. I know every other song of his. I don't know this song.
I don't know this one either.
You will never
Phil, is this your favorite song?
It is.
Oh, yeah?
As it gets louder and
louder. I know. It's just like, can you hear me?
Well, my granddad's dead.
Phil, I did not know you were a country music fan.
I'm not. It's a Justified song.
Oh,
I was going to say, it sounded very Western. Like, was there a duel in that song?
There was. The thing I love about Brad Paisley is that he does, like, the funny stuff and, like, more upbeat. He does the slow songs. The song Letter to Me. You know the song?
Sing a little bit. Sing a little
bit,
Mark.
I wish I did. Yeah, come on, Mark. You wanted me to know that song so bad, and I didn't.
No.
No a cappella?
Let me think. If I could write a letter to me and send it back in time to myself at 17. I forget. That's about as much as I know.
Nice. Was that an AfterBuzz?
Yay! Finally.
Done. But but
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
But if you listen to that song, the words in that song are so unbelievable. Like, everybody can relate to it. And he plays the hell out of a guitar. He plays him and Keith Urban, two of the best all time across the board, any genre. So
can I say something? One of these next few episodes, can you bring a guitar in and just do a little show for everybody?
Yeah.
For all your fans.
Can I open?
At AfterBuzz?
Can I open?
Well, he'll be the opening act.
Amazing. Yeah.
I think though, when you talk, you should just strum and sing with a melody.
That's what I usually do. I have 11 air guitars. So pretty good. Anyways,
I have one. It's this big.
Hey, After Buzzers, we're talking about the E! Opening Act After Show tonight. It was Tanner and Brad Paisley. And if you missed the show, you can always go to iTunes and download the podcast. And also tell a friend, rate us, give us comments. We love to get feedback and hear from you guys. We're here for you. It's new media. Chat with us. iTunes. Everyone's on it.
It's
click,
free.
Click, click. It's free.
I'm going to go a step further. All right. No, I'm going to go a step further. Here's the thing that I know. And I know because I'm getting now into just checking numbers more and more. And AfterBuzz just continually grows at an exponential rate. And so ultimately it's like it's going to be the next cool thing, right? And so you who are listening to this now, when the time comes, someone's going to tell you, oh, have you heard about AfterBuzz? You'll be like, actually, I have. I've heard about it months ago. That they won't believe you. You got to tell them now. B, if you do rate and comment, there's your timestamp. That's proof that you actually found out about us at such and such time. So you want to get on that boat, You want to be the cool kid.
Yes.
You do.
And the cool kid.
And for your added convenience, it is the podcast app.
Yes.
Yep. I think it's genius, first of all, because all my podcasts that I listen to, which happen to be my own shows, show up right in my phone. And I'm like, wow, this is the best thing ever. I can play it for everybody on the go. So.
Smart.
On the go.
Look at her getting red.
Jen Golden.
I know.
Okay. So here we are. Here we are in another obscure place, Mountain View, California. Why? Who would have a concert there? That's like having a concert in like Carlsbad, New Mexico.
That's
you
where
know?
People listen to country. I'm sorry. Like,
I was mad when I first moved here 7 years ago. And they had a country music station for about 3 months, and they took it off. We didn't have anything in L.A. for like a year and a half.
Really? And now they have like a great one.
Now we're back. Yeah, now we have a great one.
Go country.
Go country. I gotta say, country is the only. If the world ended, it'd be cockroaches and country music.
I do like to say
because
that.
Because I'm telling you, country music is unstoppable. It's one of the only genres that, when the music industry is in a bad way, is still successful. People are still buying country music. People would rather buy an old school Willie Nelson song than a brand new Mariah Carey song, you know, because country just has that kind of lineage and that kind of following. So.
It's either love or it's partying. Like, you gotta love that.
For reals. Yeah. I'm telling you, I watched the CMA Awards. They're go hard.
It's a good time.
Didn't Brad Paisley co-host it? Or is that
last week.
The last 3 years with Carrie Underwood. That's their thing.
Yeah. Paisley. Yeah. So he goes to open up for Brad Paisley. And, of course, Olivia, the host, who comes in to babysit him. Make sure that, you know, he's taking his meds and he's doing his insulin and whatnot. And
that sounds so sick. It, like, sounds weird. Like, she's babysitting him, and she's making sure.
It seems a little bit like that.
It doesn't seem like a host job, but it's funny.
You wouldn't see me over there. So, Tanner, right now, we're going to make sure you take your insulin, you know? And she's just, like, all about
it's
it.
It's kind of funny.
It's weird, because he gets sick, and she all of a sudden appears. Like, how did that happen so quickly?
She's the caretaker.
She's Glinda from Wish of the West.
I mean, I don't want to go there, but I seem to go there most times about
go
it
there,
being staged.
There.
Is that it seemed a little bit staged. Like, oh, now he's going to have an episode, and now she's going to appear right now. Like, come on.
Well, yeah, that's 100%. I'm sure.
Well, he said
sure
there's sometimes when he gets nervous, he doesn't know if it's him being too nervous or his blood sugar.
And his fairy godmother shows up right then.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's right. I mean.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe for the second season, they'll do it a little less staged.
If there's a second season.
Please.
Oh, wow.
Love,
oh, no.
Unnecessary roughness!
Out of the game.
No, I'll be taking over from here.
I'm not saying that there won't be another season. This reality TV show, some don't come back. So, the Real Housewives of Miami, haven't seen those chicks.
Oh, no, they're coming back, guys. They
Kardashians?
Are.
We haven't. Wait.
Eight seasons and 9 spinoffs. It's like Speaking Bravo Top Chef. How many Top Chef? Top Chef desserts? Top Chef breakfast?
Oh, God.
All stars?
Back to opening act. He walks into his dressing room, which, by the way, first of all, E, if you have a dressing room for Jason J. Carter, I want my name on the door, not with the post-it note to the side.
And give me two options of clothes, because I don't know if I want black with gray.
And not in a shed or a barn in the back. That's what it looked like.
That's what Mountain View had to offer, guys.
Oh, they're making it authentic. It was authentically country. There's an outhouse next to it, too. That's authentic.
Yeah, that was really country. It was like a country
with a Renaissance fair.
It was definitely a country amphitheater that seemed more like a barn than an amphitheater, but it was cute.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll get to the crowd that was there, too, a bit later. Double drinks in hand.
That is a country concert.
Margaritas. Right?
You know
I've never seen hotter girls than at a country concert.
That's a lie.
Ooh, no, go.
Church.
Let's go.
What?
So he walks
the beach?
In.
I'm saying.
My apartment complex.
At a concert.
Versus anybody.
They sing in church, don't they? Gospel.
Not country.
Oh, gosh.
That's number two on my list.
He comes into his dressing room, and I love the gifts they give on the show, or the surprise, I call them surprise trinkets. He has a letter written by Brad Paisley, which, Jen, you hadn't said that it looks like a female wrote the letter, because that writing sure was pretty.
That was better than my writing.
And what is it?
It was cursive.
Maybe he has great penmanship.
Nope. No.
Men
that was
do not
an
have
assistant or some surrogate. That was not his handwriting.
Surrogate.
But it was a nice gift. That I wrote it down. It was a
Fender
Telecaster, also known as a Tele.
Yes. Tanner was gifted with a
Fender Telecaster.
Also known as a...
Telly.
There you go.
I wonder if he got it off Amazon. And if he did, if he went to AfterBuzz TV first, clicked the banner, and then went to Amazon. Because then that way we get a kickback and it helps keep the lights on.
He might have since. I mean, a lot of people are tuning into our show.
Yeah.
I bought something on Amazon today, but we can't talk about it on camera. Just kidding. So he gets the guitar, and he says, you know, he always wanted one of these. And then guess who walks in?
Who?
Brad Paisley. They have a moment. Brad Paisley, ladies and gentlemen, comes in and talks. And one thing about Brad Paisley that I do like, I think is really cool, is that he's just very real. And it's one thing for a star. When the other country guy, Jason Aldean, came in on the first episode, came in to talk to Ariel, he just was like, okay, you're going to sing my song, Deuces. But Brad Paisley was very, very personable with Tanner, yeah. And they talked, and it was like they were brothers, you know? And that's cool. I've met stars who I've loved and looked up to. Like, I met Mariah Carey, huge Mariah Carey fan, and she was so cool and just was like, oh honey, you like my music, whatever. Voice awesome. Is going out, you know. She was great, and it was just it made it so real. And it's like, again, the word relatable. I know we use that word abundantly here, but legitimately
hashtag also a word we use.
Legitimately, he was very, very real and very nice, and he
was actually mentoring, which is what you want to see in this kind of show, you know, like shows like The Voice where they make it about mentoring.
Yeah, but I think not every celebrity or every musician is that way.
No, but it's so nice, like if the whole thing is that you're opening for this performer, that you actually have some kind of dynamic with them.
Yeah.
Or interaction, at least for a little bit. You know, in the last episode, we didn't really see Joy Island talk to LMFAO.
Until after, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Brad, you know, excuse me, sorry, told him, you know, it's your guitar. Destroy it, do whatever you want to do, but play the hell out of it. And I was like, destroy the guitar, don't do that.
He did immediately, he played it.
Yeah.
Right. Magically. On stage.
It was like, he was like an idiot savant, just knew how to do everything. He was like Rain Man.
I was going to say, like, I mean, unless he's worked with that kind of guitar before, isn't it hard to kind of just break in a new guitar?
No, well, not with electric guitars. Electric guitars, like acoustic guitars, a lot of them are bigger, smaller, whatever. And it might be a little bit harder to adapt to, but electric guitars, for the most part, it's not that strenuous.
So, but if you go from acoustic to electric, like in...
A lot of people learn on acoustic first and then go to electric. Like, he was going to play electric regardless, I think.
Oh, okay. And, that makes sense.
And then, yeah, so it wouldn't...
I have a question for you guys. Did anyone else think about the fact that right before he went on stage, he had the device on his finger for diabetes, and then went and was like strumming on the guitar? I was thinking, doesn't that hurt your finger when you just got pricked or whatever?
He's
you
probably
do?
Used to it.
Yeah.
But you don't usually play right after, I'm sure.
That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
I was
maybe it depends what finger he used.
I think he's been, I mean, how old is he in this show?
Like 19?
Oh, so he only got diabetes a few years ago.
I think so. Like
in 2008, they said.
So, like, 2008. So it's been a few years. But I think, like, at that point, you're kind of used to it. And, like, especially if you're using your hands on a guitar all the time, his finger is probably, like, built up.
Yeah, or he
up,
just
like,
probably did it on his middle finger and then played with the pick in his index finger.
Or it could be a testament to how amazing Tanner is.
Maybe there's blood
everywhere.
He's a complaint
over the small stuff.
No, he is not.
He's bleeding on the
diva.
Guitar.
He's not a diva, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we didn't actually hear him complain once.
And that was really cool about him. And as far as him learning how to play the guitar, he's just that damn talented.
Yep.
Stupid that. So let's get to the show. The night before the show, Tanner doesn't sleep. He has a hard time sleeping, and he's tossing. They show, and you know, with the behind-the-scenes cam, he's tossing and turning, going through it. Kind of stalkerish.
He was running around in his bed.
It was very Paranormal Activity.
I can relate.
I can relate to that too, but I mean, it's weird to see somebody else doing that.
Paranormal Activity, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that was good.
It was.
We just eased over that joke, but I thought it was good.
I was like, it was very paranormal. And so, the day the show comes, Tanner is not feeling like himself.
Yeah, like 10 minutes before the show time.
He's like, I don't know if it's my diabetes.
She loves that joke. That was her favorite joke. Write that down so you could use it.
Because I'm picturing the movie, like how insane it is, and you just made that comparison.
I'm sorry, guys. It's late. And he's not feeling well. Tanner's not feeling well. And he tells Olivia, you know, so lo and behold, the paramedics are there. And call 911. People are in there like, what's going on? And he had low blood sugar, and they really didn't touch on what was really happened. Yeah. But
they said that his heart rate was at 300, or his
blood sugar. Something was at 300, and it's not supposed to be
right. He said that was really, really terrible for you know him and his condition. So they got him back down, I guess, and able to play.
And play he did.
Bam!
He played the hell out of that guitar on that telly,
and he sang. So well.
Awesome. Yeah. Worked well with the band that he just started playing
for
with,
too. He seemed like a pro. He really did. He reminds me a lot of Landon Pig. I don't know if you guys know. Mm-hmm. He sings that Fell in Love at a Coffee Shop
song.
Maybe
you could sing for us. No.
But you're a singer-songwriter. You should know who he is. That's Fell in Love at a Coffee Shop song that was like an iTunes song, I guess. Or it was an Apple commercial song. Anyway, he has the same like hairstyle, same singer-songwriter look. But he was awesome. Yeah. He rocked it out.
His first song was awesome, and then he did a cover of
Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
It was so good, which you can find on iTunes if you want to hear it again.
You have to.
Why?
You got to connect with those young fans.
No,
man, they love that.
That's awesome. Yes, exactly. Landon Pig.
Oh, I thought this was Call Me. I was like, is this an acoustic version of Carly Rae Jepsen?
I was expecting Call Me Maybe.
Phil, you are on it tonight. Possibly, maybe he sounds like Coldplay.
I've heard this before.
See, of course you did. Alright. Yes, there's a chance that I've fallen quite hard over you. That was a great song,
guys. Yeah, that was a good song.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Phil. You're on it with the music tonight.
You are. But by the way, speaking of him doing Call Me Maybe, I love when guys sing girls' songs. Didn't one of the guys sing a Katy Perry song?
Yeah. 24/7.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was awesome. It just turns the song on its head. It's unexpected. Oh, yeah. It's fun. It makes
the song.
And
they can't compare that to the original.
Right. It makes it, it's like it's their own original song, but it's not. It's a cover.
It's my number. Call Me Maybe.
He did a great job.
Yeah,
he did.
He had a great voice, and he rocked on stage. Great stage presence. I'm all about the stage presence. Nothing's worse than seeing people go on stage and just be flat.
Right. No, he was bouncing around.
Yeah, he was into it.
He was great.
He was great. He was definitely showed and proved. He gave Nigel and Antonina Scherer a run for their money.
Yeah,
how dare you call him untalented.
Showed them.
He showed them. Anyway, it was a great show, and I think Tanner, we're going to see a lot of cool things from Tanner in the future.
I hope so.
A lot of cool things.
I think he will, especially since he was working with a Capitol Records producer. I mean, now he has those contacts. Nobody else got that opportunity to actually go to a record studio with these guys. Mm-hmm. Big players.
Yeah. And let's hope that Tanner gets the confidence he needs and learns to, like I said earlier, that breakthrough moment in this episode to me was just so special and so important and so essential and so crucial, because there's so many demons within ourselves. I'm not gonna get all Oprah on you, but there's so many demons. There's so many demons within ourselves, not literally, but like issues that we have that we just sweep under the rug and that we don't deal with and that we don't you know, face head on for whatever reason, because it's too painful or because we don't want to experience it again, whatever. But tonight, seeing Tanner break down with Nick and having Nick actually, I feel like Nick was having a breakdown with him too, was just nice. Yeah. It was like, this is cool. Like, I'm glad they can see that, because people that don't live in LA or don't pursue this career or any facet of this industry, they don't know. They have no idea what you go through, the trials and tribulations you go through emotionally. This is kind of...
You're extremely vulnerable.
All the time. All the time. And it's kind of an indirectly, verbally abusive industry telling you you're not good enough. You look this way. Don't be this way.
It's definitely a lot of rejection, and, you know, those that... You know, stick with it.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
all about your surroundings too.
Yeah, you know,
and the people you keep close to you
get a thick skin. And it was nice to see that kind of vulnerability on the show. Even this is kind of a feel good kind of show. It was still nice to see that kind of raw. Like last week with Joy Island, we saw a different side of raw television and a different side of raw emotion and experience. And this week we saw another side that was more emotional and more, you know, bearing of your soul. And I think we need more of that on TV, because people just sugarcoat all these shows like the LA Complex and just fake. It's fake. Give us something real. Hashtag reality. Some powerful stuff, people. Reality. Powerful stuff.
Real reality.
Real reality. As a connoisseur
of
reality.
Not that fake reality.
Not that fake reality stuff. Not that Splenda. I need some raw sugar for raw. All right, so news and
AfterBuzz TV news.
All right, I'll say something. Yes, so last week I did a really cool interview with Kylie Morgan.
Cool.
You remember from episodes back, got to talk to her about her being a gymnast when she was younger, talked about the Olympics, her experience, of course, on the actual show. We talked about who she would duet with and, who, you know, her future plans. So definitely check that out on iTunes. We got the whole interview. And, yeah. And then this coming Monday, if you're in the L.A. area at Universal City Walk, all or I think most of the opening actors will be performing at City Walk. Not sure about the time yet, so check it out on City Walk.
I'm sure we'll tweet it.
Yeah, we will. I will.
I will.
I'll retweet you.
And we'll be there.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to come out and meet us.
Yeah.
It could be Jen the Jew.
Oh, yeah.
As far as your interview with Kylie Morgan, how is she live? How
she's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing because for being so young, she's so well-spoken and has such a clear view on everything. Just
very professional.
Yeah, with all of her stuff about suicide prevention and just about her career. She just has her head on straight. And she's just funny, funny young girl.
And another country singer.
Yeah, love it.
After Buzzers, if you have any info in regards to any of the talent that's on E! Opening Act, hook us up. Hit us up online, Facebook, Twitter. Any info that you get to us is great. We want to stay in the know, stay on top of it. I mean, we're pretty much doing our research all the time. But if you have some undercover stuff we haven't uncovered, we'd love to hear from you. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. Predictions, ladies and gentlemen, for next week.
And now, you're After Buzz TV. Predictions.
I'm actually really excited for this episode.
With Nicki Minaj?
Yeah, it's all Nicki Minaj, and I cannot wait to see, A, her performance, and B, whoever's performing for her. Because you know it's going to rock the house. Yeah. It might not be a fail.
Yeah, I'd love to see her interact with the band,
yeah,
too.
That
because
too.
That's going to be really interesting to hear what she has to say. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the two little girls that go on Ellen, yeah, that do Super Bass and whatever,
yes,
other song. She's so good with them.
Yeah.
And she's so happy to, like, you know, inspire talent and loves the fans. And it'd be great, yeah, just to see how she is with these guys.
I wonder if she'll bring them on the show. They show up.
Nikki's very real. Just a quick bit. I saw a show. I saw a show on BET that was behind the scenes of, like, Nicki Minaj in a documentary. And she just keeps it real. There's no pretense with her. She's, yeah, not trying to be Nicki Minaj star. She's like knit
yeah,
Nicki, you know what I mean? She don't play, and she keeps it real. So I think next week's gonna be a great show. I as far as predictions for the show E! Opening Act, if we'll see a season two, because I think we will.
You guys, I was just thinking, how funny would it be if they did like a rap opening act and it was like for Lil Wayne or something?
That'd be cool.
Season two.
Yeah, they should do that. That would be really awesome.
Would he do that?
I mean, I don't know if Nicki's doing it. They're in the same camp,
yeah, so,
maybe.
Yeah.
Or Drake. Isn't Lil Wayne locked up?
Probably. Well, they would have to go to jail for it.
That's cool.
I love Lil Wayne.
That'd be a great interview.
We're going to make a trip to the local jail.
We're in Huntsville, Texas at the Texas State Correctional Facility with Lil Wayne. Well, you guys, there you have it. E! Opening Act After Show. That's all we have for you guys tonight. Until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever.
And I'm Jennifer Golden. You can find me at Jen the Jew.
And I'm Gabrielle Loren, and you can find me at Gabrielle _ Loren.
I am Mark E. Allen. You can find me on Twitter, Mark E. Allen, A-L-A-N, and all of us on AfterBuzz TV.
Pieces, deuces, see you later.
Good night.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.